Joining us on the WBGO Journal is Dr. Denise Rogers, who is the Vice Chancellor of Interprofessional Programs at Rutgers Biomedical and Health Sciences. She's also the Chair of the Steering Committee of the second annual Believe in a Healthy Newark Conference at NJIT coming up on September 27th. Dr. Rogers, thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So you had about 400 people show up last year to the conference. That means people really want to know about health. Let's start with the initiative itself. Where did that develop?
So the initiative is one of a number of programs that are sponsored by New Jersey Health Initiatives of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation as part of its national program to create a culture of health. And we were one of the first 10 grantees from New Jersey Health Initiatives in its Moving Communities to Action program. We decided that we wanted to focus on issues related to social determinants of health, as that is the underlying theme of the Culture of Health program from Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
And this will determine, you know, what can be done to help some of the poorest neighborhoods in the South and West Wards, right?
That's exactly right. We decided to focus our initiative on those two wards, the South and West Wards, in part because of significant levels of poverty in many parts of those communities. And those communities actually disproportionately have problems with the areas that we are focusing on. We have three impact teams as part of our initiative, one focused on healthy homes, one focused on food and fitness, and one focused on adverse childhood experiences. And for our Healthy Homes initiative, for example, we are looking to mitigate the exposure to lead in children, and both of these wards have housing that is of a significant age that many of them are lead affected, for example.
Who are we inviting to this conference? Who do you want to be there to share this information?
We're inviting actually a broad range of people. And that, quite frankly, is one of the things that we were most thrilled with in last year's conference. So we have people from community-based organizations, people from faith-based organizations. We have students from colleges and universities. We also have people from city government. We have leaders from philanthropic organizations. We have leaders from most of the major healthcare organizations in the city. So we really were able to bring together a very wide swath of people interested in learning more and sharing their ideas about how we do a better job of creating a culture of health in Newark.
Denise, we know of your job, but as the chair of the steering committee, why are you so excited about this initiative?
Well, I am a family physician by training, and one of the things I learned very early on in my career is that while as a physician, what I am able to contribute to people's health is important, I am actually unable, as a physician alone, to impact many of the things that have a much greater impact on people's health, where they live, where they work, where they play, the environments in which people work and live have a huge impact on the longevity of their lives and the quality of their lives. And so from the early days of my career, I became committed to not only looking at individual people and how I can help improve their health, but how do we help to improve the health of communities, particularly underserved communities. The other underlying theme for many of us involved in this work is how do we begin to have a continuation of a very old conversation about eliminating poverty, not only in this city, but in this country. Because quite frankly, what we increasingly understand is that poverty is at the root of so many of the problems that people in our underserved communities face.
We're speaking with Dr. Denise Rogers, who is the Vice Chancellor of Interprofessional Programs at Rutgers Biomedical and Health Sciences. She is also the Chair of the Steering Committee for the second annual Believe in a Healthy Newark Conference at NJIT on September 27th. Have you seen a trend over the past 10, 5 years? Are we getting better? Are there improvements? Are we seeing some encouraging signs when it comes to the health and maybe even poverty.
I'm not sure that I can say at this point that we are seeing encouraging signs in terms of health, in part because it takes a long time to move the health needle. We certainly are seeing encouraging signs in terms of increased development and interest in development, not only in houses, but also in businesses and also in social services in those communities. We have partners on our steering committee, for example, the Urban League, that is doing significant work in improving job opportunities, childcare opportunities for people in the West Ward. Another of our partners, RWJ Barnabas and Newark Beth Israel Hospital, very committed to doing work in the South Ward. One of the most exciting things is the South Ward Children's Alliance was just awarded a $30 million five-year Promise Neighborhood grant to help to bring resources and programming to help the children in the South Ward. So those kinds of initiatives, we believe over time, will absolutely help us to ultimately see improved health outcomes for the residents.
Can you give us like a rundown of what will transpire at the conference?
Yes. So in the morning, we will have two sets of plenary speakers. Our first group of panelists will represent people from other parts of the country who are engaged in healthy homes, food and fitness, and adverse childhood experiences, and who will share with us strategies from those other parts of the country that we might then be able to learn from. We don't necessarily believe that here in Newark we have to reinvent wheels if other places are already doing things better than we are. And so that will be our first group of panelists. We have a second group of panelists in the morning who will begin to discuss with us some of the difficulties of this, of doing this work, and also how do we get communities more involved in partnering with us. And then in the afternoon, there'll be opportunities for people to participate in smaller breakout groups where they can have conversations, engage in more dialogue around the issue.
And I understand one of the beauties of the first conference that you had is that it spawned community forums to talk more, because you can't solve the world in a one-day conference, but you can start the conversation.
That's exactly right. And that is our goal for this conference as well, is that we will follow up this conference with more locally based conversations so that we can both share our knowledge and learn from community residents their thoughts about how we can do a better job tackling some of these issues.
So what has changed since the first conference?
So one of the things that we have learned, for example, we partnered with Advocates for Children of New Jersey to do focus groups with parents who have children with asthma, since that's one of our areas that we're looking at. And we learned that while parents have a very good understanding, by and large, about the disease, many were not aware of the kinds of resources, for example, that are available to them to help with their children, particularly children who are more significantly affected. So our goal then is how do we translate that knowledge into programming? So one of the things that we have, very specific things we've done, is that I've actually been working with medical students from New Jersey Medical School to create an asthma toolkit that will be a resource that we can give to community-based organizations, that we can give to families, so that they not only understand more about asthma, but understand what resources are available to them. We got some high school kids to, over the summer, look at the parks and map out what are the parks in the South and West Wards. We got them to go and look at bodegas and see what is the availability of fruits and vegetables in these local neighborhood corner stores and bodegas. And now we will intend to work with them to see how can we do get them to do a better job of offering fresh fruits and vegetables. And one of our speakers, quite frankly, at the conference is a woman in Washington, D.C., who's been successful at doing that. We've also been successful in training teachers, healthcare professionals, and the police officers in the city about adverse childhood experiences and the impact of trauma that trauma has on people's lives. The challenge of our work is then how do we measure over time that these interventions are making a difference, and we will strive to do a better job of that moving forward over the course of the next several years.
People are listening to Dr. Denise Rogers right now and say, I want to be at this conference.
Please
so what
come.
So what can they do?
So go to our website, believeinahealthynewark.org, and the registration link is right there, and sign up. But I urge you to do it quickly because, quite frankly, it looks like as of yesterday, we probably have less than 50 slots available, which is good news for us, but we also certainly want additional people to sign up if they're interested in coming.
What a great idea to get the kids involved in your research, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a win-win because it also gets them thinking about social determinants of health and hopefully gets them thinking about their own health behaviors, for example.
Very excited about the asthma toolkit. Can you be more specific about what's going on with that? Because we all know that it's a huge problem, not just here in Newark, but elsewhere.
Yes. So part of what we're doing with the asthma toolkit is sort of providing kind of basic 101, what is asthma, right? And then helping people to better understand what are triggers for asthma. For example, one of the things that I'm interested in figuring out how we do is perhaps in local parks put up signs during poor air quality days so that we discourage children with asthma from coming out to play on those days, but encouraging children to play on days like today, which is very high quality air day. We're also going to educate children and families about what types of medication should they be taking. We very much want to focus, though, on also when should you take your child to the hospital. You know, we focus very much on avoiding the emergency department and encouraging people to take children to the doctor's office and that sort of thing. What we want to really say to parents is if your child is having significant trouble breathing, take them to the hospital. Don't think twice about, should I wait to go to the clinic? Should I err on the side of caution and take your child to the hospital? We want to give that permission in a situation where a child has asthma because, sadly, we still have children dying from asthma in Newark, and we want to eliminate that completely.
Do you do radio at all?
I don't.
You're wonderful on the air.
You should
think about it.
Thank you so much.
And we certainly appreciate you coming in. Anything else you'd like to add about the Believe in a Healthy Newark conference at NJIT on September 27th?
I think the last only thing I would like to add is one of the goals in this initiative is also to get more partners. So if people are interested in partnering with us, particularly people who are engaged in work in the South and West wards, go to our website, get our contact information, and reach out and become part of one of our impact teams.
Denise Rogers is the Vice Chancellor of Interprofessional Programs at Rutgers Biomedical and Health Sciences, also the Chair of the Steering Committee for the second annual Believe in a Healthy Newark Conference at NJIT on September 27th. Dr. Rogers, thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you.